Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pitamahame Samare Maranjayai. Devavrata Dhyati Ratai Stimingilai. Nuratyayam Kaurava Sanya Sagaram. Dvitvataran Vatsapadam Smayat Plavaha. Dronyastra viplusham idam marangam. Santana bijam kuru pandavanam. Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro. Matuscha meya ksharanam gataya. Viryani tasya kila deha bhajam. Antarbahi purusha kala rupai. Prayachato mrityum utamritam cha. Maya manushiyasya varasva vidvan. Please chant. 5, 6, 7. Pitamaha. Pitamaha me samare maranjayaya. Deva vrtadhyā tirathai stimingilai. Duratyayam kaurava sainya sagaram. Kritva vatarun vatsapadam smayat plavaha. Draunyastra viplushtam idam marangam. Santana bijam kuru pandavanam. Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro. Matuscha meyak sharanam gataya. Yuryani tasya kila deha bhajam. Kantak bhai purusha kala rupai. Payatcha to mrityu mutam ritam cha. Maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. Anyone else? Pitamahami samare maranjayaya. Devavrata dhyati ratai stimingilai. Duratiyayam kaurava sainya sagaram. Kritava taran ratsapadam smayat plavaha. Dranascha viplushtam idam marangam. Tara bijam kuru pandavanam. Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro. Matuscha meyak sharanam gataya. Viryani tasyakila deha bhajab. Antarbahi purushakara rupai. Vayachito mrityumutam ritam cha. Maya manushyasya vadasva vidvan. Pitamahaha. My grandfathers. The five Pandavas. Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev. May my samadhi on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Amaram jayai. With fighters who could gain victory over the demigods on the battlefield. Devrata Adya, Bhishmadev and others, Atiratai, great commanders in chief, Timingilahi, resembling great Timingila fish, which can easily eat large sharks. Duratyayam, very difficult to cross. Kauravasainyasagaram, the ocean of the assembled soldiers of the Kauravas. Kritva, considering such an ocean. Ataran, crossed it. What form is that? Anyway, we'll look at it later. Vatsapadam. Exactly as one steps over a small hoof print of a calf. Sma. In the past. Yat plava. The shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. Drowni of Ashwatthama. Astra, by the Brahmastra. Viplushtam, being attacked and burned. Idam, this. Mat Angam, my body. Santana Bijam, the only seed left, the last descendant of the family. Kuru Pandavanam, of the Kurus and the Pandavas, because no one but me lived after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Jugopa gave protection. Kukshim, within the womb. Gataha, being placed. Atta Chakraha, taking in hand the disc. Matuhu, of my mother. Cha, also. May my Yaha, the Lord who. Sharanam, the shelter. Gatayaha, who had taken. Viryani, the glorification of the transcendental qualities. Tasya, of him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okila deha bhajam, of all the material embodied living entities. Antak bahihi, inside and outside. Purusha, of the Supreme Person. Kalarupayi, in the forms of eternal time. Prayachataha, who is the giver? Vityum, of death. Uta, it is so said. Amritam cha, and eternal life. Maya manushyasya, of the Lord, who appeared as an ordinary human being by his own potency. Vadasva, kindly describe. Vidvad, O learned speaker. Shukadeva Goswami. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishmadev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoof prints of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshana Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Shri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings, by his own pleasury potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Samashrita ye padapallava plovam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsapadam padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. His goal is Padam Padam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who takes shelter, who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Dvam Sarva Papi Biho Moksha Yishyami Ma Shuchaha, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness. Ante Narayana Smritihi. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the supersoul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee. Yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya, because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living entities. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, Sambhavamyatma Mayaya, just to show favor to the fallen, conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Vyavastiti. This is the highest perfection of human life. Parikshit had some short acquaintance with Krishna, although he wasn't born yet. But in the womb of his mother, he saw Krishna. Purvam jaya jishtam anujayam parikshita nareshviha. And that's where he got his name from. The rest of his life, he was always looking, where is that person I saw in my mother's womb? Purvam jishtam, we saw before. Anudhyayam, meditating on him constantly. The vivid impression of seeing Krishna for a moment before being born stayed with him his whole life. He could never forget. He was always meditating deeply. Yogis are struggling for lifetimes to achieve the power of meditation. Parikshit had it in a prenatal state. He obtained it. And he never lost it. It was natural. He was born with it. The ability to meditate deeply on Krishna's personal form. Like the Supersoul, but not quite the Supersoul. He saw Bhagavan. What is it? What was the vision he had? Kshanakyaksham padapanim brahmayantam muho. Anyway, he saw Krishna holding his club, and not just Narayan there, holding it up, like a deity form, not moving. But he was swirling that club around, like a ulukum. I guess that's a firebrand. You know, a comet, yeah, but I don't know. I don't think the idea is comet. The jugglers, the really good jugglers, they'll take a torch and throw torches around. And, if you miss, you can get burned. You can land on your head and burn your head. So you got to be a good juggler to throw torches around and twirl them around and catch them up, throw them way up in the air and catch them. I've seen. I won't name the name, but these jugglers in America I saw, they were throwing torches. They missed a few. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like that, Krishna was swirling his club around like a juggler's torch. Very personal image, although particularly in Virabhasa, I guess. Krishna was a great hero with his club in hand, not just holding it as a decoration, but using it. This is the image that Pariksit meditated on his whole life. This is what he saw, this is what he remembered. Krishna is unlimited. Akilada Samrita Murti. He's the reservoir of all varieties of loving relationships. But each devotee has particular relationships, has their own impression of Krishna. First of all, when Krishna descends to the material world, this is his Prakrita Lila. And this is what Shukadeva Goswami is going to describe. It's not what Krishna is doing in Goloka. How can we even begin to comprehend that? But what Krishna showed when he came to this world. He appeared publicly in his Prakrita, manifest Leelas, in which he accepts the limitations of time and space. He does one thing at a time, not everything at once with everybody. But he associates with certain devotees at each time, doing certain things, and then he moves on to the next thing. Linearly, the kind of time that we live in the material world. Krishna accepted that, voluntarily accepted those restrictions. And that's what Pariksit and all the other devotees who joined in Krishna's Leela, what they experienced was this Prakrita, linear sequence of time, of pastimes in time. Krishna is passing through time. There is pastimes. And each of those devotees experiences, what not only is there a built-in limitation that Krishna only does one thing at a time, and therefore devotees have to wait their turn for their participatory opportunities. Not only that, but each devotee only participates in a certain way, has certain relationships with Krishna, has experienced certain of aspects of Krishna's personality. So although Shukadeva is going to respond to Pariksit's question by giving a whole panorama of many of Krishna's pastimes, can't be all of them, but many of things Krishna did during his life, he's going to describe in these 19 chapters various loving relationships with all sorts of devotees. This canto is packed full of rasa. You want rasa shastra, you don't have to go to Ras Bihari Lal. We have it right here in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the original rasa shastra. All the others are derivative, are taking their example and their inspiration and their information directly from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami's descriptions are concise, but they're not as superficial as you might think they are. There are all sorts of tacit, but hidden between the lines, all sorts of descriptions of intricacies of loving relationships that he doesn't put a label on. But those who know, the commentators like Vishwanath Chakravarti, explain to us all the things that are going on in terms of rasa, of different ecstasies and emotions and exchanges of love, and all sorts of different devotees with different moods. But Pariksit is asking, that is going to be all presented by Shukadeva. A neophyte will not catch all of it, because it's not all put in words. Actually, poets are not meant to be very explicit when they're describing rasa. You can't just say bhava and express the feeling of bhava by the word. You cannot express rasa and ecstasies directly by literal designation. You have to resort to suggestion by dvani or vyanjana. The deeper power of words to suggest meaning, rasa is evoked in the hearer. Not directly, not by saying it in so many words. Because it's beyond words, beyond ordinary words, but the transcendental poets can evoke the rasa in the hearers by that special power of suggestion. Shukadeva is an expert in that. He's not just some dry yogi, some impersonalist. He was an impersonalist. Now he's converted to a devotee. But he's also, not ordinary devotee, not some Gyana Mishra Bhakta. He is expert, poetic expressor of all the depths of rasa. And to be able to express it, he has to know it. He has to be experiencing it. You cannot write transcendental poetry just based on theoretical knowledge. He's directly experiencing the rasas, or at least he has familiarity with them. A poet can describe someone else's rasa that he and the hearers don't have direct experience of. This is vicarious. Like in drama, in poetry, you experience, or even in movies on television, you're experiencing someone else's life. Not things that you never were in battle, maybe. You don't know what it's like to be shot at and watch your friends being blown up in battle. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't. I've seen it in movies, you know, but it's easy in movies. You know, you just mow down all the Japs and they're gone. You know, they don't say a peep. They just fall down on the ground. But it's not really like that in real battle. You know, it's gruesome and it's horrible. It's painful. But we experience through poetry, through drama, we experience these emotions vicariously, other people's emotions that we never directly experience. But that's valid. Bhakti rasa is reflected in Vaishnav kavya rasa. So Srikadeva is an expert in that. He's not in the Madhurya rasa himself, but he has great appreciation for the love of the Krishna, that the gopis have for Krishna. And he's considered the best expert in describing these rasas. Even in, In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, who was talking? I think it was Uddhava and Narada were talking. Both of them together trying to enlighten Gopakumar about the higher reality of Goloka. In Vaikuntha, they were preaching to him. And they were going back and forth because both of them thought themselves not very qualified to describe the glories of Goloka. So they were passing the ball back and forth among the two of them, Narada and Uddhava. And I don't know which one of them said it, but they told... they were talking about the love of the gopis. I guess it was Uddhava, because he's the one who has the most appreciation. Among those who are not actually in Madhurya rasa, who are not gopis themselves, he's the greatest appreciator of the gopis, Uddhava. And he told Gopakumara, I told you everything I can. I can't explain anymore, because now it's beyond, it's over my own head. Any more than this. But in the future, Shukadeva is going to describe these. And I think Shukadeva was there. He pointed to them. I pointed down to the earth. I said, that's Shukadeva down there, son of Vyasadeva, just taking birth. He's going to very soon describe the secret, or the intimate love of the gopis, even in the way that I Uddhava cannot. Shukadeva is going to be able to describe these things. He's specially empowered. There's some information, I think, in the Devi Bhagavat, but may not be acceptable, reliable for us, that Shukadeva was previously Srimati Radharani's parrot when he took birth. Yeah, maybe that's not correct information about our Shukadeva. Anyway, he's specially empowered. Even though he's not in this highest relationship with Krishna, he's able to enlighten us about it. And those who do have the adhikara to enter that relationship, Madhurya rasa, can learn from Shukadeva. The saying is, those who are able, capable, do, and those who are incapable, they teach. Or how does it say? Yeah. You know, so even those who can't become gopis themselves, they can train up others to become gopis as Shukadeva. Anyway, Parikshit, he's not a gopi either. He's got some friendly relationship mixed with Virya Rasa, whatever, with Krishna. And mostly in separation, because he only saw Krishna for a few moments before he was born. So his angle on his vision of Krishna is something special. How Krishna saved him in the womb with his Sudarshan Chakra. Well, here he says Sudarshan Chakra. He had both his Sudarshan Chakra and his club in hand. Entered the womb of my mother and saved my body. You know, and you know, it's not that Parikshit is a materialist interested in saving his body. He recognizes the importance of his own body, the last remaining, the seed. Bijam, Santana Bijam, Kuru Pandavanam. the last remaining heir of the dynasty. So his body is the seed from which will expand the future, the continuation of that, of those two dynasties, the Kurus and the Pandavas. So that's, he's got the proper understanding. And he's got a special vision of Krishna. Krishna as Paramatma and Virat Rupa, in the form of his own potency and the form of eternal time, who gives liberation to everyone, his enemies and his friends. For his enemies, he's death, and for his friends, he's eternal life. But actually, even after dying, you get eternal life. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva, avidyaya mrityum ashnute. It's said in the Isho Upanishad. It's interpreted in various ways, but literally the statement is, by ignorance, avidya, you cross over death. And then, by vidya, by transcendental knowledge, you enjoy immortality. So Ramanujacharya explains that means, in his way of looking at it, that by practicing karma, by performing Vedic duties, you get free of your karma. You transcend your karma. Your consciousness and your life become purified. You rise to the mode of goodness. You can enter the stage of jnana. So by avidya, or material, mundane rituals, the rituals of Vedic sacrifice, one can cross over death. And then by vidya, transcendental knowledge. For Ramanuja, bhakti is another kind of knowledge. It's the best kind of knowledge. It's consciousness, it's realization, but it's loving realization. So by vidya, knowledge, or more properly speaking, devotional knowledge, one gains his real immortal, eternal bliss. So that's Ramanuja's explanation of that. We can also look at it in terms of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna kills many demons. He delivers conditioned souls. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsta padartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. On the surface, this seems to mean that Krishna has a lot of business to do. He has to save the devotees when he comes to this world. He saves the devotees, he kills the demons, and he reestablishes religious principles. All three, all at the same time. All the things he does serve multiple purposes. But these are the three main public purposes of Krishna's leelas. Of course, sharing loving exchanges with his devotees is the real purpose. And that's the real meaning of Paritranaya Sadhunam, not just saving them from being killed by demons. If that was the criterion, don't talk to her. If the criterion of the success of Krishna's leela were that he saved his devotees from death or from persecution, then he wasn't very successful.
Yeah.
Six first sons of Devaki were killed by Kamsa. Most of the Pandavas died in the battle. All the women were left widows. Great disaster from the point of view of saving the devotees from death and from persecution. How did he save the Pandavas from persecution? They were persecuted like anything. Kunti had plenty of complaints about that. But she also said, Viparap Santutash Shashwad Tatva Tatva Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Let these calamities, and she considered them calamities, not fun and games. It's not just mowing down Japs in the movie. It was for real for them. They weren't just playing a game or acting on a stage as actors. They were living it. So when their children were killed, they felt pain. Just like more than anybody else, because other people just have mundane love. They had real love because their sons were also devotees. The sons of the Pandavas must have been very great devotees. So the loss of them was not just a material loss. And it was felt, not just with material pain. Draupadi was in anguish over the death of her sons, and so were all the other widows. Krishna caused that. So from the mundane point of view, Krishna didn't do a very good job of saving his devotees. But we have to understand what saving really means. Kunti, who bared a lot of the brunt of that suffering herself, she had the anxiety of having to try to protect the Pandavas when everyone was trying to destroy them. And she's just a woman, and all these big men were trying to destroy her sons. So she had a lot of pain, even though the Pandavas never suffered a scratch from any enemy on the battlefield or anywhere. They were always protected by Krishna. Still, Kunti was in a lot of anxiety over them, trying to keep them safe. But she tells Krishna, let these calamities come again and again, please, because they're opportunities to see you again. You, when we're doing okay, you go away somewhere. You run off to, you know, to Hastinapur, or go back to Dwarka. Because, you know, everyone wants you back in Dwarka, so you only come when we have some disaster over here. Then you show up. Then we pray helplessly and you appear. When we're in danger only. So let the danger and the calamities come again and again, so that we can see you again. You know, that's okay for the devotees of Dwarka that you're with them, but what about us? So we want you with us here. Please remain for more catastrophes again and again. That's Kunti's realization. She understands that this is how Krishna really saves his devotees, by bringing them to the hanging over the cliff of the precipice of disaster, and then saving them. Just like Devaki and Vasudeva, just like Rukmini, Krishna's first and primary queen. She lost her first son when he was 10 days old and didn't see him again until he was fully grown. She thought he was lost. She suffered, in effect, the loss of her son for some 18 years or something. She never gave up on Krishna. Her love for him only increased. This is how Krishna saves his devotees. In the material world, there's no sense in pretending or getting the idea that it's a nice place. Krishna comes to this world, he is dealing with this world, and he's dealing with devotees of his who are stuck in this world, and he wants to get them out. And so he kindly lets them know, by various means, that this world is not a place where we want to remain. I'm here for 125 years, you, my devotees, are also here for some time, but let's arrange to get out of here, all of us, Krishna's telling his devotees. And to help his foolish devotees who get attached to this world, he makes things very difficult for them. And that increases their love for him and their attachment. Just like Parikshit. He's so thankful that Krishna saved him in the womb, and he's just looking everywhere to find Parikshita Nareshviha. He was looking. Every person he saw, he said, well, is this him? You know, I'm not sure who it was I saw in my mother's womb. Is this person over here? Is that him? Or maybe this other one? Of course, he never saw Krishna. Krishna had already left this world. But he was always looking. Parikshita. Therefore, his name is Parikshit. The person was always looking around for Krishna. So that makes him, because he's already situated in the highest mood of Vipralamba Bhava, or ecstasy of separation. He's intensely eager to hear from Shukadeva. Shukadeva also I don't know about that. And he saw Krishna also in the womb. Krishna came to him and didn't see him, but he heard him. So Krishna talked to him while he was in his mother's womb. And it was a different situation. Parikshit was helpless, and his body had actually been destroyed by the Brahmastra weapon. Krishna had to recreate his body. Sukadeva, his problem was that he didn't want to come out, but he was in his mother's womb for 16 years. Body, no problem with his body, but he had a problem with the material world. He didn't want to come into it. And Krishna had to come and come up to Badrinath, visit Vyasadeva and his pregnant mother of Shukadeva, his wife, and ask Shukadeva in person, please come out. I promise you my Maya will never touch you. And then only Shukadeva agreed to appear in this world. So he heard Krishna. He didn't see him. I guess maybe he got a glimpse. But he left home. Krishna was there, but he didn't even stay to be with him. Shukadeva just left home as soon as he was born. So he also, his service to Krishna wasn't separation. So the two match very well. Pariksit the student and Shukadeva the teacher. They both had the same kind of relationship with Krishna, at least the same kind of separation relationship. And they're both very eager. Pariksit to hear and Shukadeva to speak. Now the questions have been asked. A few more questions will be asked, and then Shukadeva will start speaking. Okay, any questions or comments? Yeah. Well, all the pastimes that Krishna shows in this world are also going on in the spiritual world. No demons. So, okay, if you want to fight with demons, you got it. If you want to fight with demons or you want to preach, if you want to go do one of those two services for Krishna, you have to come to the material world. All the other services can be done better in Vaikuntha. You like to cook for Krishna? Better facilities for that in Vaikuntha. Although there's a lot of competition. He's got hundreds of thousands of gopis cooking for him. Got a lot of cooks. But every other service can be done better in the spiritual world. Only preaching and killing demons are best done here. Well, I think she went back with her sons. She did go back to this kind of. Oh, I don't think we have description of that. They continue the same pastimes. Krishna is there with the Pandavas in a special place in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, or in Dwarka, in Vaikuntha. There's Hastinapur, part of Dwarka. They have the pleasure of fighting without actually anyone being killed. Then it's mock battles in the spiritual world. Krishna's got his army, he's got his commander-in-chief. Sometimes Lundarayan himself goes out to battle the demons somewhere, who knows where. Yeah. Yeah. The rasa is there. Even if nobody gets killed, the pleasure is there. So there really isn't. Even for that, there's no ultimate no need to come to the material world. So yes, you could say practically every devotee should want to join Krishna in the spiritual world. But there's a higher level in which there's no difference between Goloka and Gokula. Gopakumar was like that. He was commuting back and forth. They said, I don't see any difference. There's some, I experience, there's this experience of going back and forth and being in between. But beside that, there's no difference between one place and the other, as far as I'm concerned. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shrade, Bhavatad Bhakti. Let me simply have your pure devotion birth after birth. I don't care for liberation. That's also higher consciousness. Yes? I think that's in the Devi Bhagavata. Yeah, yes. They're mixed up. Yeah. The thing is, Devi Bhagavata is describing a different person with the same name. He became a householder. Or there was maybe three brothers? Yeah. Two brothers? I don't know, it's complicated. Yeah, our Shukadeva never got married. There's a Shukadeva described in the Devi Bhagavata who became a grihastha. Not the same person. So if that Shukadeva was a parrot, that's okay. It doesn't mean our Shukadeva was. Yes. No, that part isn't quoted. The passage is quoted about fascinated sending disciples to ambush or stand behind the bushes and recite some Bhagavatam while Sugadev passed by.
Yeah.
He doesn't say about the other part. Jiva Swami doesn't quote that other part. Okay. The Sugadev sent back a Maya Sugadev.
Yeah.
Okay. And he probably got it from Jiva Goswami or Vishnu or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's why I wasn't sure that this thing about the parrot is bogus, but it's if it's just out of the Devi Bhagavad, it's questionable that it's our Shukadeva. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Wow, where's that said? Some Bhagavat Mahatmya? I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely not the. Wait, Skanda Purana is the one that I'm familiar with, in the Vaishnava Kanda. That has nothing to do with. Yeah, maybe the other one. Maybe Prabhupada Purana. Okay, maybe somewhere else. Could be. But the thing is, the Shukadev in the Devi Bhagavat speaks the Devi Bhagavat, not our Bhagavatam. The Shukadev who's described in the Devi Bhagavat becomes the speaker of the Devi Bhagavat. Yeah, so we're not interested in that Shukadev. It's not the same Shukadev who spoke both those Bhagavatams, no. Yes.
That verse is that Shukadev had already left home after taking birth when he heard that verse, correct? And that's on the basis of that verse we decided to come back and study Srimad Bhagavatam.
That verse and a few others.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Yes. Yes. No, he was a householder all along. Yeah, he had his ashram up in the Himalayas, and it's described in Mahabharata that when he came down, he used to come down once in a while from his ashram to visit Hastinapura or Indraprastha, to visit the Pandavas. But he would make a trip from his ashram. He was living in his ashram. He wasn't Grihastha, but he was a great ascetic also. He was a big meditator and performing austerities, even as a householder. I'm watching you. Satyavati is his wife, the son of the fisherman. No, wait, that's Parashuram. That's his mother. That's his mother, Satyavati. Satyavati Sutta is Vyasadeva. So who's his mother? His wife. All right, wife. His wife's name is not mentioned. Shukadev Ki Mata. Okay, but the Puranic Encyclopedia usually quotes from the Devi Bhagavat before it quotes from our Bhagavatam. You can check it. You can check it. Anyway, Shukadev's mommy. That's it. Anyway, he was not wandering around too much. He stayed in one place in his ashram because he was busy writing books and teaching his disciples. That was his pastimes. He was a meditator, a writer, and a teacher. He came down only for the Pandavas, to meet the Pandavas. Once in a while he'd come down.
Wow.
But he wrote a lot of other things before he wrote the Balakam. He wrote everything else before the Balakam. So I think he had a long career of writing. And I don't know. I don't think it you know, that he didn't start writing until late. He probably was writing his long time. I mean, to write down all the shrutis is a long task. We have, you know, we're taking half our life just to write one or two books. Spoke them. But you know, he had to sit down and figure them out and speak them to his disciples. Even though it was done by word of mouth, it's still an elaborate process. It took time. But he had to teach it to his disciples. They had to memorize it. You want to study four Vedas, it takes 12 years for each Veda. 48 years. You're 60 years old by the time you finish your college education. To become a Chobi. The real Chaturvedi, you're 60 years old by the time you get it. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.